Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'd like to draw your attention tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to continue our study through the book of 1 Corinthians. We've been a couple months, and we took a break from it, and now we're coming back to finish the book. Of course, the book of 1 Corinthians was written to the church at Corinth. It was located in southern Greece in an area called Achaia. Now, the Corinthian church had a lot of problems in it, and we noticed some of those problems as we've come up to this portion in chapter 11. They had problems with divisions, and they had problems with other things. They were suing each other in the courts of the land, for instance. So Paul is writing to correct some of the errors that had crept in to the church there. And tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the focus is going to be on the Lord's Supper. They had some problems in taking of the Lord's Supper. One of the greatest blessings of this side of glory is to be able to, in your church, to partake of the Lord's Supper. And as we remember what the Lord did for us 2,000 years ago when He died on Calvary and He resurrected again the third day. So our focus tonight is going to be on the Lord's Supper. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, what we're going to do is we're going to look at verses 20 down through verse 34. Actually, verse 18 through verse 34. So what we're going to do is glean the text, and we're going to bring out different truths about the Lord's Supper. Now, he mentions four times in this section, and this is the first truth I want you to see. The Lord's Supper is to be taken when you come together. When you come together, it says in verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, he says, I hear that there be divisions. Now, we talked about that just a little while ago. I hear that there be divisions among you. And he said, I partly believe it. So right now, what I want you to see from that, it says, when you come together in the church, you look down at verse 20. It says the same thing. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And the idea of this is not to eat is ye cannot eat. And one reason they shouldn't eat of the Lord's Supper is because of all the divisions that they had in the church. So twice, you see, he mentions when you come together. Now, you look on down into the text, you see it used on down into the text also. Verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another, which means to wait one for another. They weren't waiting on other people to come in and to participate. Some were just coming in and bringing their own dinners from home, and they'd sit down and eat, and some would be hungry, and some would be drunken even. So they were really misusing of the Lord's Supper. They weren't waiting on one another. It's actually getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. And they weren't waiting on one another, because in the Lord's Supper, you take it when you come together. And that's the first truth that I want you to see. It's mentioned again in verse 34, if a man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together. So there's four times that little phrase is used in this section that deals with the Lord's Supper. And it stresses the fact that when you take the Lord's Supper, it's when the church comes together as a local body. And it should show unity. That's why he said they couldn't take it, because of the divisions that they had among them. We noticed earlier in the book of 1 Corinthians that it's divided at least four different ways. That's why the love chapters in 1 Corinthians 13, he stressed how that they needed to have love. They came behind in those spiritual gifts, but the church didn't have love for one another in it, and they were divided amongst themselves. So in this message tonight, entitled The Lord's Supper, the first thing I want you to see is that it is to be taken when you come together in the church. And four times that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And they needed to come together as a body. And that's what you do when you take the Lord's Supper. You come together as a body, a local body of Christ in your church, and then you observe the supper. Now, the purpose of the supper is the second truth that we want to see in the text, the purpose of it, is seen in verse 24 and 25. It says that this do in remembrance of me. And then you look down in verse 25, it says this do in remembrance of me. So twice you'll see that in the text, that the purpose of it is so that we would remember. So that we would remember. And, of course, in the Lord's Supper, you have a picture of the gospel message. The fruit of the vine is a picture of the Lord Jesus' blood. And when it reminds us of Calvary. It reminds us that He shed His blood on Calvary for our sins. Of course, we are washed clean from our sins when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are washed clean from our sins. And it's pictured when you come to the Lord's Supper, that's reminding you of the awesome price that Jesus paid to redeem us, to set us free from our sins. And we need to remember that, lest we forget. We often are a people that are prone to forgetfulness. And if the Lord, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior and you're washed clean from your sin, from your sin debt, and now you're, as I said, redeemed, set free from the bondage of the curse of the law, and now have a home in the Father's house and are a child of the King, we should remember what it cost to bring that salvation to us. Jesus had to be born, and He had to live a perfect life. He had to die, and then He had to rise again the third day. And in the Lord's Supper, you have a picture of the gospel. And, of course, the fruit of the vine is a picture of His shed blood, as I said. The picture of the crucifixion, that's what the fruit of the vine is a picture of. Jesus shed His blood. He shed His blood for our sins. Now, the bread, the unleavened bread that, of course, it's unleavened bread is a picture of the sinless body of Christ. Leaven was a picture of sin. Unleavened bread is a picture of His body. Jesus was without sin. And, of course, in order to sacrifice Himself for our sins, it required the sacrifice of one that was perfect. And certainly that was our Savior. He was perfect in all points. He kept the law 100%, and that was the requirement. So the unleavened bread is a picture of His resurrection, whereas you have the fruit of the vine is a picture of the death of Jesus. The bread is a picture of His resurrection. Now, you might be thinking, how could bread picture His resurrection? Well, where does bread come from? It comes from grain. Grain is a seed that's been planted in the ground that's come up. And that's the reason why the bread is a picture of His resurrection. Sometimes when I do a funeral, and I do a graveside service, I point out a text in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, you don't sow the body which shall be. That when you're planting a body in the ground, you're sowing it. And you look forward one day when Jesus comes again, if the person was saved, you look forward to one day from that spot, out comes a new body. So you can see how bread or grain, that which comes from grain, would be a picture of the resurrection, because it was a seed that was planted and it has came up out of the ground. For example, wheat. Wheat was a plant. It was a seed. It began with a seed, was planted, and then it comes up. Barley, etc. So it's a picture of the resurrection. So when you take the Lord's Supper and the elements in the Lord's Supper, the fruit of the vine and the bread, they are a picture of the gospel. So baptism is a picture of the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection. And the Lord's Supper, the other ordinance, is also a picture of the gospel message. Remember, the gospel message is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that trusts it or believes it, which means to trust it. So the Lord's Supper is to be taken when you come together in the church. You indeed do need to be part of the church. You are to worship at home. You're to have private worship, but you're also, according to Hebrews chapter 10, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. God's people need to assemble as a local church body where they can be trained and taught in the scriptures, where they can publicly worship. You need the combination of private worship and public worship. So the Lord's Supper was to be taken when you come together in the church. Secondly, the purpose of the Lord's Supper is for remembrance, so that we would remember the awesome price that Jesus paid in order to redeem us from our sin. And that should always stay forefront in our mind. We should praise God for that every day of our life. And in our churches, we need to picture Him in the Lord's Supper and remember what it cost to bring us into redemption to save our soul. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 15, there is a text, and it says this in Deuteronomy 15 and verse 15. It says, "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing this day. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God hath redeemed thee." So, and back in the Old Testament scriptures, you have texts such as this, and they observed the Passover feast. And they was to remember that at one time they were in the land of Egypt, they were set free from their bondage, and the Lord is the one that redeemed them. So the Passover was a picture of their being set free out of Egypt, and they were never to forget what God had done for them. Well, Jesus instituted, the week that Jesus died, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper out of the Passover feast. And the reason why that is the Passover pointed forward to Jesus dying, whereas the Lord's Supper looks back that he has already died. So we're on this end of it, and whereas in the book of Deuteronomy, they were on the other end of it. The Passover pointed to the sacrifice of Jesus, and then, of course, you know, when Jesus died on Calvary, he fulfilled the Passover. And that's the reason why the night before he died on Calvary, he instituted something new, and that was the Lord's Supper. And it's a memorial. It's a remembrance service when we remember what he paid to redeem us from our sins. It's interesting that this text in Deuteronomy 15:15, John Newton, the writer of the great hymn "Amazing Grace," he had this near his study over his mantle where his fireplace was at, so that whenever he would study every day of his life, he would see this verse, "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God hath redeemed thee." We should never forget our redemption, and it should never become a routine to us. It should be something that every day of our life we thank God for. So, the second purpose of the Lord's Supper is it was given for remembrance, so that we would remember. As the Passover was given to picture what Jesus was going to do, it also looked back at how God had brought deliverance to Israel out of Egyptian bondage. The Lord's Supper points us back to our salvation, and how that we have been redeemed from the bondage of our sin debt through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So, two lessons we've seen so far. We take the supper when ye come together. Number two, the purpose of it is for remembrance of Him. Now, the third lesson, let me get back to our text here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It states in the text that Paul had received the Lord's Supper from the Lord. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, notice what it says in verse 28. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. I have received of the Lord that which I have delivered unto you. Now, that's interesting, I think, because if you'll think just for a little bit, we do indeed realize that the Apostle Paul, he wasn't at Matthew 26. When the disciples was in the upper room before Jesus died, Saul of Tarsus hadn't been saved yet. He wasn't saved until the book of Acts. So there was some time between that. So he wants them to know that he had received of the Lord. And this means by divine revelation, God had revealed, had received from Jesus the Lord's Supper. And Paul had delivered it unto the church of Corinth. And he would have done that to all the churches that he started. And you can read about his missionary journeys in the book of Acts. He went on three missionary journeys and four, if you can actually count four, because he was taken to Rome as a prisoner, but he was still preaching and he was still sharing the gospel with people as he was a prisoner for the cause of Christ. He never quit serving the Lord. He served him all the way up until he was beheaded for the cause. But he was in prison, but he served God where he was at. So he received this, Lord's Supper, this ordinance. He received it from Jesus at a later time. Jesus gave that to him. Now, he uses this same term to describe how he received the gospel. He didn't receive the gospel by any man. He was taught the gospel by revelation of Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Now remember, the gospel message is God's message of salvation. Romans 1 is the power of God unto salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he saves those. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe it. And the gospel message is a message that he received from directly from Jesus. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached, which also ye have received, by which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." But I want you to notice he says, "which also ye have received." They had received the gospel. Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." So he had received the gospel, the same as he had received the Lord's Supper, and he received it by divine revelation. So the Lord had delivered unto him the Lord's Supper, the practice of the Lord's Supper, how it was to be done, and then he delivered it, to the church of Corinth. So he received the gospel message by revelation, but he also received the Lord's Supper by revelation. So it's important to see that. And then he gave it to the church of Corinth, and he would have given that to all the churches that he started. He would have given that practice unto them. And it's important that you, when the church has the Lord's Supper, it is very important that you come and partake of it. Now, the fourth truth that I want you to see in this broadcast this evening about the Lord's Supper is that the Lord's Supper is a picture. The Lord's Supper is a picture. It says in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Now, it doesn't tell you how often to take it. That's just really up to the church, I feel. I'm teaching through the book of Acts on Wednesday nights, and it appears in the book of Acts chapter 20 and the verse 7, it says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. And the word, the phrase to break bread can refer to the Lord's Supper, because in 1 Corinthians 10:16 it talks about the bread which we break. Is it not the communion of the blood of the Lord Jesus? But or it can refer to a regular meal. And it seems that in verse 7 that of Acts chapter 20, that the breaking of bread there is a reference to the Lord's Supper. And a lot of times what they did is they'd have a dinner, a meal called the agape meal, and they would meet for fellowship and they'd eat, and then they would take the Lord's Supper. And it seems like they may have done it weekly. And but it says there's no, it doesn't tell you how often. It just tells you as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup. It's as oft as you do it. So it's really up to the church how often that you do it. For it says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So it's a picture of his sacrificial death. And when you see the fruit of the vine there and you're taking it, you're showing forth that his sacrificial death, but also in the bread, when you take the bread, you're also showing his resurrection. It's a picture. It's a picture. Like baptism is a picture. Both of them are a picture of the Lord's sacrificial death and resurrection, which is the gospel. So it is a picture. Jesus is not being crucified again in the Lord's Supper. The book of Hebrews stresses the fact that Jesus was once offered. He was once offered for sin. He didn't have to be sacrificed over and over and over again. It says this in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. For Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. To them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So it says that Jesus was once offered. He don't have to be crucified over and over and over again. And the book of Hebrews specifically said, once offered. 9 and verse 26, it says, for then he must have. Let me go ahead and move back to verse 25. It says, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. And talking about the Day of Atonement, when the high priest of Israel went into the Holy of Holies with the blood of a bull and the blood of a goat. He sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat and seven times before it. And that made atonement for their sins for that year. Every year they had to come back and do that again and again and again until Jesus died. And what happened when Jesus died? The veil of the temple was rent from top to the bottom. That meant no more atonements. Listen to this now, verse 26. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Of course, we're in the last times now. He has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So Jesus, of course, we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. The next thing on God's agenda is he's coming. But it stresses once offered. And that's what Hebrews stresses. He died one time. He died one time. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews 10 and verse 10. By which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once. So that, I think that's enough. In all reality, to show you that he died one time. And in the Lord's Supper, it's not a sacrifice. It's a remembrance. It's a picture. And it illustrates the gospel message, as we said. But it is not literally his blood. And it's not literally his body. It's a picture of it. See, it says in 1 Corinthians 11:20, if you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Now look at what we studied so far this evening in this message on the Lord's Supper. It should be taken when ye come together. Number two, the purpose of it is for remembrance of him. Just like Deuteronomy 15:15, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God hath redeemed me. So it's a picture of the death and the resurrection. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. Now, how often we take it, it doesn't say. There's an example in Acts 20 of them doing it every week. The church can partake of it as often as they want to. And so that's why it doesn't put a number on it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So you can do it as oft as you want to. Number four, it's a picture. It's a picture. It's not the actual sacrifice of Jesus, but it is a picture of the sacrifice of Jesus. Not only this sacrifice, but in the bread, which is grain, it's a picture also of his resurrection. Okay? Now, when you take of the supper, this is the fifth truth that I want you to see. It says a person is to examine theirself. And it goes on to say we're not to eat or drink unworthily. Now, that doesn't mean that we're unworthy of our salvation. That's for sure. We don't deserve what we get. And sometimes people say, well, I'm not worthy to take the supper. Well, that's not the idea of it. Here is that we're to, when we take the supper, we're to do so in a proper fashion, a suitable fashion. And we need to examine ourselves. We need to confess our sins. And if we are at odds with someone, we need to get those odds restored. And our motive for taking the supper needs to be right, to worship and remember the Lord. But we're unworthy of it. We're certainly unworthy of anything that the Lord does. But he wants us to take the Lord's Supper because of what he's done, and to picture what he's done, and to remember what he's done, because it keeps us close. It keeps us close to the Lord. So we examine ourselves. We remind ourselves when we take it of what we're doing. We confess our sins. If we have odds towards someone in the church, we need to get that taken care of, because like he said in the book of Matthew 5, or Matthew 18, if your brother has an odd against you, this is Matthew 5 and Matthew 18, if there's an odd, you need to go get that thing straightened out. Well, folks, this is the Good Hope Through Grace broadcast. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of Elizabeth Baptist Church. Thank you so much for listening.